It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
9 o'clock, 9:01 to be precise. Chris McMonagle, Willie Colon, filling in for Boomer and Geo on this Tuesday morning. We did yesterday. We got one more hour, and then you're off to Atlanta.
Headed down to Atlanta.
I got this week, and then I'm going to Italy. So we got trips coming up.
Are you going to Italy?
I'm going to Italy. Yeah, I'm excited. My father-in-law grew up there. I think he was 15 or 16 when he came to the country, my wife's father. And, like, it's all kind of like a family thing to go back to his hometown. We're going to Palermo and in Sicily.
Taking the whole tribe?
Yeah, taking the kids, the wife, everybody. My sister-in-law and her family are going. So it's going to be, and then his brother, too. So my wife's uncle is also going down. They're staying down there for 2 months, and, like, family is coming and going as they can. So we're going. Wow. It's going to be a fun trip. We're looking forward to it.
Yeah, we're heading down to Atlanta sorry to cut you off.
No, by all means. I asked you about Atlanta. I cut you off with Italy.
My niece, we're moving my niece into a dorm room. She's going to college, which is, I think, most people around this time who are letting their loved ones take on that four-year venture.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's 4 years. You know, it's kind of like a passing of the torch. You want to see her excel. So
yeah,
we're all kind of as a family. We're going to be that family. There's always that one family when it comes to moving time. The whole family shows up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's that one roommate. Like, so,
right.
Are you moving in or is it just one person? Like, so we're going to be that family.
Especially you walk in the door like, oh, boy.
I'll be like, so where you want me to put the microwave? you know what I mean? Love you, babe. Where you? Yeah, that's going to be me, so.
That's funny. And you know what? I was going to tell you before, you're killing me because during one of the breaks, you showed me some street food that was questionable. And I was like, because I'm told in Italy that's
I have
be
the
big,
most whacked out algorithm.
Yeah, because you were like, look at this. And it's like some guy just like putting rice in plates for people while rats were running
around.
There's
a couple of pots of white rice with cockroaches and rats crawling all over it. And I'm just like, dude is just going around the rats, just throwing it on plates. Like,
you see that. I've seen that before. And that, like, you know, the street food in these other countries where it's very, like, people.
But I've been to Italy. I've never seen nothing like
that
in Italy.
No. But like, I'm just saying, I'm hoping not. But I understand that I've been told that street food is a big part of the culture. So I've been looking forward to the idea of walking up and down the street and being able to, like, you know, get, like, I don't know, fresh octopus or all the different things that they have down there. And you're showing me that video. I'm like, oh, God, I hope.
That's the last thing I need to see.
And you see it, too. Like, I've seen videos like that. My algorithm, I have weird algorithms, too. Like,
mine is.
Do you know what I get a lot? I don't know why. And maybe because I watched one and then I get fascinated and I've watched a couple. But have you ever seen, like, the cleaning of, like, cow hooves? Like they'll get like a nail in there,
start
and they'll pull the nail
it down.
Out and they'll shave it down and spray it out with like a blue liquid. I end up seeing like a bunch of those.
Like my algorithm's so wacky, like I don't pull it out in public. Yeah. Like I'm always like I'm always on the elevator looking to scrolling down close to the chest.
Yeah.
When I'm on a death scroll, I'm kind of like in the privacy of my own room.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really like whip it out in my phone in public.
No, I hear you.
People would be like, What are you looking at? What is that?
It is weird that like the idea that we're having this conversation is we were talking about at the start of the show about, you know, going, everyone's obsessed with the past. Like, we're literally talking about what algorithms we have. Like, what pops up as we scroll through our phones, bored on the toilet.
Yeah.
Like, it's amazing. It's a different world.
Well, you know your algorithm and your, I guess, your nuttiness when you send somebody a meme or a clip or video or whatever, and their reply back is, you know, WTF.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, it's just like, what have you been looking at that this is now on your phone? You're like, no, it just popped up. And everybody's like, sure.
Sure it did.
Yeah.
Sure it did. Yeah, well, that's how it is. Like, I saw a stand-up comedian on one of those clips on my algorithm talk about the idea that we never put it down. Like, when's the last time, maybe you have, when's the last time you went to the bathroom and didn't make sure you have your phone with you so that you had something to do on the toilet?
Like, oh, man.
When is the last time you were on the toilet and didn't have your phone with you to play a game or just whatever?
I mean, I've put the beaver head in a death choke just to run back to the room.
Yeah, right.
Because I can imagine, right?
Yeah.
At my ripe age of 42, being on using a bowl
without
my phone, like
How did we do it before that?
I almost tripped going up the stairs trying to go back for my phone. Yeah, it's embarrassing. I'm not proud of myself.
It is, and analytics is part of that. And Tom in Babylon is a big fan of analytics. What's up, Tom?
Well, you hit the nail on the head. That's just destroying the game of baseball through the minor leagues, as well as the major leagues, analytics. Hey, listen, let me just give, if you don't mind, a plug to a baseball writer that's on LinkedIn, and this guy's phenomenal.
Sure.
His name is Owen Kelly. Okay. O-W-E-N-K-E-L-L-Y. The guy's just spot on a lot of stuff. He's a former scout. He's a ball player. And he writes, I think, true stuff about the game of baseball.
Okay, you got his name out there. What's your problem with analytics? What's your problem with, are we talking the conversation we're having now about the starting pitchers? Is it exit velocity, launch angle, what, all of it? It's all killing the game of baseball?
If I may.
Yes.
It's all of it. First, let me explain something. The average pitcher today is going about 4.5 innings.
Mm-hmm.
Just check it out.
Yes.
That's number one.
Yep.
Number two, I can name a whole slew of starting pitchers in the 80s, the 90s, and the 2000s that went the full 9 innings and never had Tommy John surgery.
Right.
The pitch clock is part of the problem. They're rushing the pitches. They're throwing 100 miles an hour. And there's no command of the pitches.
Yeah, no, I understand. And that's the point, though. Like, that's what his argument is. Because back in the 80s, you had guys throwing 89-mile-an-hour fastballs and 91-mile-an-hour fastballs. And they were geared to go deep into the games. Today, I guess you can call it analytics, but they teach these guys to throw as hard for as long as they can. As hard as they can for as long as they can. They want the stuff to get out hitters. They want the swing and miss. They're not interested in you throwing 91-mile-an-hour fastballs to make sure you can keep that up for 125, 30 pitches. It's just the game has changed in so many ways. And we can argue about whether or not we should have our phones on the toilet. And we can argue whether or not that it's helped culture or baseball. The fact of the matter is that's just the way it is. And it's not changing.
Got to be able to adjust.
And specifically for the Yankees and Mets, you can't point to it as why they're losing. Now, he didn't try to. He's talking about the game of baseball. But you can't, like, yeah, the Mets have had trouble. The bullpen has been suffering for it. And maybe it's a little extreme to have every pitcher not be able to go five. But, like, this is the game of baseball. This is what it is. Starting pitchers don't throw 140 pitches, and they still get hurt because they're trying to get max velocity because they are trying to strike out the best hitters. The competition keeps getting better. The athlete, you know this.
Yeah.
The athletes get better. Football might be in a worse spot fundamentally, or, you know, the way you played it was a better brand of the game, more entertaining, more this, more that. But I think you would even recognize athletes of today, every generation gets better.
They're
stronger,
more skilled.
They're faster.
Well,
they're,
But I think to your point also, I think not only just the ability to adjust because the game is what it is,
mm-hmm.
it's a lot more entertaining.
Yeah.
And when entertainment starts to override the foundation of which the sport was built on.
Right.
I mean, that's why gambling is in sports right now.
Right.
Because it's pure entertainment and people are more invested and willing to spend their money on a product that's out there. So if it calls for my guy to kind of pitch five, but he's throwing straight gas, he's coming downhill, that's what people are coming to see.
Well,
it is what it is.
I mean, I think that's the question, because they did institute rules to go back to, like, the pitch clock is designed to not necessarily change 100-mile-an-hour fastball, but to change how much time is taken in between games. And they want to limit pitching changes, so they make the mandatory three-batter rule. Like, they are trying to, like, it's a question on whether or not what the fan actually wants. Because I think
wants to please their dopamine.
Yeah.
The same reason why we sat here and talked about when we were using a John and to god awful to think nothing in our hands while we're actually doing number two.
Yeah.
We need something to appease our dopamine levels. I mean, the same thing is with sports. How can we make it faster, more entertaining?
Right.
How can we get our best playing at their best every time they're up to bat?
I totally agree. And that's why batting average and different things look completely different, because, you know, Joe DiMaggio had a 56-game hitting streak because he saw the same pitcher five times in a game. Like, he didn't have a side-winding right-hander throwing 99 miles an hour brought in the seventh inning just to get him out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a different game. That's just the way it is. Nick in Pompton Plains. What's up, Nick?
Gentlemen, how are you?
Good. How are you, buddy?
I just want to touch on the phone on the toilet.
Yes.
You remember the good old days where we used to solely judge people on what type of reading material they had in their bathroom?
Right. Yeah.
Went there?
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, on the way of the... You'd be like, oh, Sports Illustrated. Great.
Mm-hmm. No, I definitely. Sports Illustrated or whatever. Yeah, you would judge people based on...
Oh, yeah. I used to. The only there's one friend I had growing up. I was solely like to use the bathroom in his house because I always discovered Jet Magazine. And Jet Magazine used to have Beauty of the Month.
Yeah.
So that's why we thought we were best friends, but yeah. I really liked the magazines in his bathroom.
Yeah. That's
just fair take.
I would go there just for the bathroom.
Just for the Jet magazine in the bathroom.
Speaking about magazines and places.
That's old.
Yeah. Do you remember, like, I can't imagine this anymore. Did you ever have, like, nudie magazines at barbershops?
I don't think I'm that old.
Because I went, when I was, like, a kid, and I would,
like,
you know.
Full
it would
frontal?
Be, like, it would be like off the works? It would be, like, off to the side. It wouldn't be, like, on the table. But, like, the barbershop I went to when I was a kid, there was, like, Playboys there.
On the side?
Yeah, like, you know, available to men to look at during the... And
I think it's
thought
the
that
first
was the,
I've ever heard of
it. I thought that was the weirdest thing I've made. That's why I'm asking if that's, like, something that was, like, commonplace or just, like, something weird at the one barbershop I went to.
I mean...
I remember, like, Playboys at the barbershop.
If that was exposed to me, my mom would be like, this is the last time you're getting your haircut here. Because obviously there's some after-hours work going on here.
And Rasko, did you ever hear that or no? Am I just...
No, I never
saw that?
Where I grew up, never. No.
Sal and Mike's
I went to, they never had any nudie magazines. No.
Can you asking the barber, like, yeah, let me get the number two? And he's like, yeah, sit down, sit next to the Playboy of August there, yeah, son. Right, I'll get right to you.
Yeah.
That'd be tough.
No, I don't remember seeing that.
The one I went to had some.
I mean, you're a Long Island guy, right? So
yeah.
So where was it? Franklin Square?
It was in Franklin Square. Go. I don't think I don't even remember the name. I don't think they exist anymore. But there was definitely some Playboys in there.
Sounds like there was some illegal poker going in there too.
Maybe. Adam on the Upper East Side. What's up, Adam?
Hey, morning guys. How are you?
Morning. How are you?
I'm sitting in traffic with my guy this morning, taking my son to school, and we're hearing you guys, and he says, why are they talking about horses? This is usually sports stuff. He's only 12.
Okay.
So we're stuck in the light. I go on Facebook, and because hearing you guys talk and then hearing me talk, I go on Facebook, and I saw three advertisements for different things for horse rescues and for donations.
Oh, really?
So somehow, have you guys ever been in that situation where you're having a conversation with your wife or one of your buddies, and someone's phone's open, and then you go on Facebook or Twitter or X, and you got 40 advertisements for whatever you were just talking about?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a scary thing.
Absolutely. It is. Well, that's another technology thing where your phones are listening to you. I was late to the game. My wife and I remember my wife, particularly, and one of her friends was telling me, be careful. Your phone is listening to you. I was like, stop. It's not. It's you know, we connect our Google or whatever. So if you search something that popped up, it doesn't mean because you were talking about it. But now I'm fairly convinced.
Like, I was talking to my brother today, talking about like the things you could use Vaseline for.
Mm-hmm.
And my phone just came up with these random things, like these home improvement things you can use Vaseline for.
Yeah.
Now I had, like, that's why my algorithm's all screwed up.
And now you can order a subscription to Playboy.
Another use for Vaseline. The kid shouldn't be listening to that. That's right. That 12-year-old has now got calf of...
He's like, horse and Vaseline, Dad.
Let's see if Matt can back me up. Matt in Boonton, New Jersey. What's up? Matt, you there?
I'm here. You guys there?
Yeah, we're here. Have you ever been to a barbershop with nudie magazines?
So the first job I ever had was at a barbershop in Lake Hiawatha, New Jersey. Mm-hmm. Old school Italian guy.
Yeah, same here.
And
same
he job. Had That's a whole slew of them.
Yep.
Whole slew of them on the coffee table, a little bar on the side. You could make a drink if you wanted one.
It was after hours. Yeah.
That is funny. I it was an old school Italian barbershop. The same thing. He didn't have a bar in there, but there were definitely Playboys to be had in that barbershop.
And your pops was never like, hey, son, cover your eyes here? Or he was just like,
I don't remember it being that young. Okay. I remember when I was like, you know, 14, and it was literally down the block, so I would walk there. I didn't always get haircuts with my dad. I remember just going by myself.
Right.
But, I don't remember. If I did go with my dad, we didn't make note of it. We kind of just, like, didn't talk about it. Like, it wasn't like...
Libido and sexual performance.
All right, last one on the nudie magazine day. Talking about Billy Madison and Happy Gilmore and everything. Larry in Medford. What's up, Larry?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
What's going on?
Now, I'm just about 60. So when I was in, like, second and third grade, my mother worked around the corner from my elementary school. So that's where I had to go after school to do my homework, and she would put me in her boss's office to do my homework, and the walls were covered with Playboy magazines.
Really?
I look forward to going to there every day. Like, yeah, I go downstairs. They had the Stuber pickle place. I'd go downstairs, get a pickle, come upstairs, and just look at nude girls all day.
What a life.
Like, you know, it was great. It's like, you know, okay, I know what I like.
Yeah, well, I guess, yeah. That is weird. I guess maybe there was a time when people, it was less, like, I don't know. We were less uptight about it, and
yeah, now
and
you
those
can't
kind
do
of
nothing.
Magazines yeah. were very... Yeah, no, now you can't.
If you have that laying around a kid, you may have Child Protective Services.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. You take your kid to a barbershop now and that's in there, you'd have to run.
Yeah, business might close.
Yeah. can I have the, like you said, the number two on the wall? But nowadays, oh, man, it's so, like, you go in there and, you know, it's a little stressful. I don't know about you, but, like, you know, especially if I go without my wife and I get the instructions, there's nothing worse.
What are you talking
about?
No.
Like, to get the kids' haircuts. Now, okay. I'm normal haircuts. We're getting off the nudie magazines. Like, when you go to take the kid to the haircut, right? And, you know, I know what to say for my haircut, or at least I like. But it feels like it's ever-changing with them, and I'll get instructions. And it's always, I'll get the text. It's like, all right, now remember, he wants the skin fade. Like, and I just always, I'm like paranoid. If I don't get the haircut exactly the way I was told to get it, there's going to be a problem. So it's like, because we don't really point to number, I'll take this, I'll take that. You get like a picture kind of like this, but he wants the skin fade and then he wants the line in it. That's like a new one. The
kids want
the line
old
in
school.
It. And they charge an extra $5 for the line. They also
charge you for the line?
They charge you for the line. They also charge you $5 for skin fade too. Like So you get more money for that, and that's of course what they want, but it's always.
Well, take them uptown. You get all that for the low. Take them to the Heights.
Yeah.
Dominican is to clean them up.
I go to a Dominican barbershop in the town I go to. They do a great job. The only thing with me is, and this is, I'm weird in the barber chair. One, believe it or not, because I know you're seeing me on TV, there's nowhere you feel heavier, at least for me, in a barbershop chair. The mirror is like right on you. The strap is like right around your neck. Like for me, I'm uncomfortable because I look in the mirror and I go, good God. Then
he said, good God.
Good God. And then this place does a great job, but like I feel like I have to tell them, I'm not Mona Lisa. I don't have to be in the chair for 45, 50 minutes.
Well,
they do a great job, but I'm like, look at me. I'm not that pretty. Let's just, I got things to do. I don't need to be in the chair for 45 minutes.
I disagree. I want to be pampered. I want to be like one of those Westminster dogs. I want to get the full process when I'm in the chair.
That's funny.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, 927. Chris McMonagle and Willie Colon filling in for Boomer and Geo. Update time. Chris Lopresti is back with us for the final time today. Nice. Lost in the Darkness.
Very nice tune. You're grooving over there.
I'm grooving.
Did you sing for us yet at all?
I haven't, no.
Hmm.
I was meaning to tell you, I completely forgot now, to just pull up the Ozzy stuff from the other day.
Maybe tomorrow.
Maybe.
You can sing.
I can sing.
And McPherson can freestyle, and then we'll have a competition.
He can freestyle,
no,
I'll sing.
No offense, Willie.
How would it be a first to me?
Well, because we've been... Do something performance-wise without you tomorrow.
We're planning it after you leave.
You know?
We're making plans.
I mean, I know you're doing, you know, you're leaving to do good stuff, so it's all good.
Yeah, I guess I am going to miss a singer.
I mean, I could do a little bit of it, I guess. I've done it before.
All right, well.
Maybe we'll play some music coming back from the next
break.
It's not
worse than being put on the spot.
Yeah,
that's what I said. Maybe tomorrow we'll do a little.
Yeah, you don't have to do it on my
situation.
I'm not afraid to sing.
No, I know you're not. Clearly, that's been established. All right, we're sponsored by Primo Brands, the official water sponsor of MLB. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. Also brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. With the Yankees, when they need to break out of a slump, you bring in the Twins, and all of a sudden the home run bats were going last night in the Bronx.
2-2, breaking ball, hammered down the right field line. It is a fair ball and gone, Ben Wright. Third home run tonight by the Yankees. He's 2-for-2. For Ben, 17th home run, RBI number 38, 3-0 Yankees.
Dave Sims here on
hey
the
now.
Fan. That ball was crushed out in the blink of an eye right down the line there. They ended up hitting 4 solo homers against Minnesota. You had Rice and Stanton going back-to-back in that frame there. You had Cody Bellinger in the first inning, and then Jazz Chisholm Jr. capping the scoring late, a 6-2 victory over the Twins. Will Warren, 6 2/3, of 3-hit, 2-run ball, 7 strikeouts for the victory, as the Yankees have now taken 23 of their last 30 regular season preseason meetings against Minnesota. This was also their first win in a series opener since the All-Star break. And Warren, the first Yankee, started to record an out in the seventh inning in a month. So much needed for them. Also, Luke Weaver, David Bednar finished it off, getting the final seven outs in order, four of them on strikeouts. Tonight, you got Carlos Rodon, and it is pen game for the Twins with pregame at 6:25 here on The Fan and the free Odyssey app. Now, former Yankee Clint Frazier, who's got his own podcast, who doesn't these days, chiming in on the status of Aaron Boone. So what do we have so far today? Russo, Joel Sherman, yeah, and now the great Clint Frazier.
Keep up the theme.
Yes. So here was the first part leading into his overall point.
I want to emphasize that, like, I have no reason to back anybody up on the Yankees. Like, other than, like, they were nice people to me in there, so I would talk good about them. But I'm not sugarcoating anything.
All right, so that was his qualifier before he continued and finished off his point.
As a person that was inside that locker room and had been around that guy and knows not 100% how it's ran, but knows a vast majority of how it's ran, if you fire Boone, you've got to fire a lot of other people too. Because Boone is just the mouthpiece for a lot of other things that are happening inside that organization. So if you want to see Boone gone, others have to go with him.
Now, he went on to say it's not like he's sitting there in the dugout with an earpiece on and they're telling him exactly what to do, but there's a lot of stuff that is sort of
planned
out and presented to him.
Yep.
And then should he make a different decision and it backfires,
right,
he illustrated that there are people that are essentially waiting for him after the game to be like, well, why did you do that?
Yeah, we spoke to that.
Yeah, we spoke to that because I heard the clip. And that's been a talking point. And look, I'm not saying I don't believe what he's saying. I'm just saying that's been a talking point for a while, that the assumption is that he's not allowed to go off script. And if he does, if it doesn't work, he'll have to answer why. And that they talk about these things. Now, again, I venture to say that this is a common theme throughout a lot. I mean, Dave Roberts said as much 2 years ago about, like, who he's allowed to play.
Yeah.
Like, he fully just said, well, I was told I can't pitch him. Like, that's, like, this is how it's done. The front office presents a plan. They discuss it. I believe Aaron Boone's voice in that discussion is as loud as anyone's. But ultimately, yeah, I mean, by the nature of it, do you acquiesce to your bosses at some point? Maybe. But, like, I think we all do. Yeah, we all do. But I think it's a collaborative decision making. It's not what we all want. It's not Billy Martin doing whatever the hell he wants.
Yes, Joe
that
Torre.
The GM gives him the team, and that Billy Martin runs it however he sees fit. Those days are long gone.
Yes.
Even for guys like Bruce Bochy and Terry Francona, it might be slightly different than it is with Aaron Boone, but it is not Billy Martin. It is not whatever they want.
I think the commentary comes out because in this market, for whatever reason, with this fan base, the slings and arrows most of the time are shot at the manager.
Correct.
So now all of a sudden you've got some other people, whether it be a former player, someone who's covered the team a long time, someone who's spoken to people or looks at how they do things at the lower levels, you're seeing this narrative now of, well, it's not just the manager and that there are other issues at play here, and you've got to look at some other people, whoever those people might be. Obviously, Brian Cashman's an obvious name.
No, absolutely. And you've also seen former players come out and speak to the defense of Aaron Boone.
Yes.
Like, we've seen Lance Lynn, who wasn't here very long, but he came out in a podcast and said, hey, he talks to us, like, things that need to be addressed, there's no doubt, Aaron Boone addresses it. Like, he won't do it publicly.
Right.
And he never takes guys off the field. And all of that, this is my point, who cares? I don't care. I need the results. And right now, Aaron Boone and the Yankees aren't getting the results. So I don't care what he's doing. It ain't working.
That is true.
That's the bottom line.
And on another note, I mean, what guy is going to come in here and replace Aaron Boone is going to be willing to sit in that seat and just do what the front office tells him to do?
Right.
You know? A lot of good coaches like to trust on their own knowledge, the intel from either playing the game or being around the game.
Mm-hmm.
So
the replacement, if there's going to be one, it would probably be a very similar situation of what they've got with Boone.
And here's the other thing. The same for Brian Cashman. Like, I don't think they're gonna. I think the day Brian Cashman goes, there's going to be a press conference that he's moving to another higher role inside the organization, and my right hand man is taking over. Like, I don't think it is going to be Cashman's gone, and we are bringing in someone from the Tampa Bay Rays, or we're bringing in someone from the Dodgers, or we're bringing in. Like, I just don't see that day coming.
Probably true. Mets are back to work tonight, 1-3 with the Braves at Citi Field, trying to put an end to a 7-game losing streak. Clay Holmes, Spencer Strider are the starters for a 7:10 first pitch on Odyssey Mets Radio. Only because we got into it a little bit last hour with, I mentioned the flump, and we played the old audio with Beningo.
Yeah.
There was one other part to that Yankee Stadium thing from back in 2009, just to wrap it up with a bow. Of course, this was the midday show at the time with Evan Roberts and also producer Greg Giannotti. So last hour we heard about, what was it, the spaceship?
The spaceship.
Right? There was
the
a little,
solar system?
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's a little bit more to that whole discussion that day back in 2009.
There were select home games for the affordable price of only $6 million. On. You can actually float above the stadium via rocket-powered backpack. How amazing is that?
For $6 million, I can float above the stadium on a rocket-powered backpack.
Wait, but Joe, you haven't heard the best one of all.
Are you kidding me?
This is the biggest feature of them all.
Isn't this about baseball?
All right, and then this was the last part before they finally came clean. You can think all you want out there that this is staged. I can promise you it's not, and you'll kind of hear that at the end here.
Mickey Mantle's rolling over in his grave here in
this garbage. This one actually involves Mickey Mantle.
This is ridiculous.
The Yankees have built a time machine. All right.
Oh, no.
For only $1 billion.
What, can you interview Joe DiMaggio?
You could actually ride this time machine and spend 10 minutes with your favorite Yankee. Want to hear some of these features?
I can't.
Lasagna
wait.
With Babe Ruth. Get hounded by angry reporters with Roger Maris. Take infield drills with Horace Clark. Go to a therapist with Steve Sachs. I mean, this is great stuff. This is, who cares about the baseball game? A time machine? What's, you're floating above the stadium.
Are you, this is insanity. Bro. Are you kidding me? Are they really doing this?
Yes. As you get into a spaceship.
Let's go back to the planetarium.
And you hear a little bit of Giannotti there at the end. They were just besides themselves.
That is so funny.
I love that when he says, when he first, you can build this, they built a time machine. And oh, God. Yeah. Which is similar to other every now and then you'd get like a...
That is so funny.
You get a prank caller to like a solo Beningo show, a very quick one, similar reaction.
I'm worried about them in the playoffs, and would you like to have a threesome with me?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. I love that.
But that, the time machine, and then the, for $6 million.
Yeah, right. $6 million, the rocket-powered.
And the only thing about that audio is... Joe sounds almost exactly the same.
Yeah.
And Evan sounds like he's 11.
Teenager. Yeah,
he sounds 11, like he's 11 years old.
Yeah.
And the excitement of saying all this ridiculous stuff and knowing Joe is going to buy it, it like he can't wait to get it out and to see Joe just buy it. It's
I didn't know Joe's that gullible.
Very.
I know he can be a little bit of a... Plays with a short wick at times, but I know he was...
That's one way to say it.
I know he was that...
You can
the only
him.
Thing in the world you can't get Joe to believe in is the Jets.
Yeah, that's pretty it. Much. Right.
That's a good line.
That they're going to win
that's
again
it,
before
yeah.
he dies.
That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of the Jets, they get back to work today as well against the Giants. Joint practice in Florham Park, and then they'll face each other in East Rutherford tomorrow before their annual preseason game this Saturday. And on the Jets note, I've been wanting to get to this, so... we'll use the little time we have left to do it. So we did a little trip down memory lane a few times. We did the Mark Sanchez, yep. Snoopy Bowl. We did Gino and IK with the punch. Mm-hmm. This was one when I was on the beat. I actually was not present for this because, believe it or not, it was during a bye week, 2014, and I was getting my wisdom teeth out. And this was the infamous John Idzik press conference after a 1-7 start for the Jets. A little sampling.
You start out losing 7 consecutive games. That's very personal. I'm the general manager of the New York Jets. I am responsible for the football operations of the New York Jets. Ultimately, I'm responsible for the performance of our team, the product that we put on the field. That lies with me. The buck stops here.
All right, so that's just a sampling of what turned out to be a 38-minute press conference, and this was from Brian Costello's... Right up for the New York Post. Somehow Jets show manager John Idzik spoke for 38 minutes Monday and created more questions. The biggest one, is this the right guy to lead the Jets?
Yeah.
And it was just a rambling mess of him trying to take accountability, but then not taking accountability and not being specific. So I was just curious if you have any memory of that kind of making its way into the locker room because it became a big news story here in New York City.
I think
in
I drank
the
most
team.
I ever drank in my life during that year. No, I mean, that year's foggy, obviously, we're a horrible team. But like we stated, I think we were talking about it yesterday.
Yeah.
He just wouldn't spin.
Yeah.
You know, we had the money to acquire some players and to kind of boost the roster. And is it just one? He had a mindset that he was trying to build the Seahawks of the East because of what he was dealing with the Legion of Boom and a young Russell Wilson and on and on and on. And it just wasn't it. And he wouldn't spend money to help. And Rex, I remember, and I've said this, you know, I remember Rex begging him, like, hey, man, you get me a quarterback or you get me some pieces where we can do what we need to do. We don't need much. We just need a couple key. We needed a receiver. You know, Gino was really young.
Yeah.
We needed some tight end help, but Isaac wouldn't spend the money.
Yeah. And what point do you recognize it? Like how by that point, 1-7, it's too late to add all that stuff. What's Rex saying at that point?
I mean, training camp, you know what you need.
Yeah.
You go through a training camp, you know where you're deficient at. You know who's worthy of playing or a guy you just have to put in that role because that's all you have, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what some of the things we were dealing with. So,
he ended up doing to try and address some of those needs was the in-season trade for Percy Harvin, which I'll never forget out there before practice and after they announced that, and Idzik telling us that as a potential coup was their trade. For Percy Harvin, who played in 8 games after the trade for the Jets, and then only 7 more in his entire NFL career. Obviously, had injury and concussion and migraine issues, but that was being a big in season.
I love Percy Harvin. He was arguably top 5 best football player, top 10 best football player I've ever been around. I mean, we got him when he was pretty much broken.
On the downside, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, the little time when he was healthy, you could tell in his heyday, he was legit, man.
Yeah.
And he was a good locker room guy.
Super Bowl winning team with the Seahawks.
Yeah, he was good, man. When we got him, he was a lemon.
Didn't have a lot left. Yeah, gotcha. All right, let's get to moment of the day as we do that here. So we were talking earlier in the show, and you got onto the topic of Ben McAdoo. Yes, you did. So we were reminiscing about his introductory press conference, the Giants in that first season going to the playoffs, and then year two and sort of a different outlook and also a different physical appearance for McAdoo, which obviously kind of backfired.
They expect to have this big year. And I remember going to camp, and he had like the big doofy oversuits and the kind of like bowl haircut and everything. And then he shows up to camp, and it is slicked back like Pat Riley. And he's wearing the glasses.
It was Gordon Bombay in Mighty Ducks, too.
Yes, he was Gordon Bombay in Mighty Ducks, too. Yeah. There's no doubt. He was feeling himself, and I remember thinking, wow, this could feel, he practically put his feet up on the desk to talk to Mike. Like, it was just like, they're here, they have arrived. The Giants thought they were going to be so good that year. He showed up to that camp, I'll never forget it. I was like,
is there a picture of that?
He got crushed in the initial opening press conference for looking like, you know,
like this guy.
I mean, Dave was similar. Remember the Dave when he gets out of the blue pickup truck in the snow and walks in with the suit and the briefcase and that like stage video.
Well,
he did because of the way it was presented on social media.
Yeah,
but
of course.
He doesn't exactly, you know, dress up nice in a suit either. And I'm not knocking the guy.
No.
You know?
But at least he started with like this, I'm a blue collar coach.
Yes.
Coming to coach a blue collar team in a blue collar city.
Very true. So
he tried to give you guys Patrick Mahomes too.
I know McAdoo did. Yeah, that's a famous story that he was in that year. The draft, he was pounding the table to get to trade up and get Patrick Mahomes, and they didn't. You know, they didn't.
never heard from again.
So he wasn't a great coach, but maybe a talent evaluation.
The way he looked at me like,
that would have been.
Sometimes it sucks to suck, bro.
Yeah.
Willie and I locked eyes there for a second, and then all of a sudden he just reacted a certain way. So there you go.
Great Ben McAdoo, the great Ben. They thought he was going to be the next great. They thought he was one of the great offensive minds. It was a disaster.
I really don't remember what's become of him.
He's been around. He went to
Arizona after that to be like the quarterbacks.
Was it right to Arizona?
Yeah, quarterbacks coach. And then, I don't know, I lost him after that.
I think he was with the Panthers. Wasn't he the offensive coordinator for the Panthers?
I remember
the Arizona. Now, I see he went to the Jags as their quarterbacks coach.
Right.
Wait, right after the Giants?
It says 16-17, then not until 2020. Was he a consultant out there maybe for Arizona?
I thought he went out to, I could be wrong.
Then
but
you got
I could
Cowboys consultant. That's right. He was the offensive coordinator for the Panthers for a season.
Yeah.
And then he was a Patriots offensive assistant and defensive assistant the last couple of years.
Yeah, they were mixing and matching. Joe Judge
looks
was
like
an
he's still
coach.
With the Pats.
Yeah.
So,
He's
a defensive assistant. I'm not quite sure how that's possible.
But. Now it's Vrabel, but. They had Patricia and Joe Judge running the offense a couple of years ago. I mean, they killed that quarterback. What a disaster that was. That's probably the most puzzling thing I can ever remember from obviously the great Bill Belichick. To give a young quarterback in May into his second year after a promising rookie season, to give him Matt Patricia and Joe Judge as his offensive coaches. Like, oh my God, that is a disaster.
Patricia's still in the league? No, he's done, right?
He's in college now, I think.
Is he?
I think I want to say he's at Ohio State.
I know he's doing the podcast with Bill. Oh, he's at Ohio State.
Yeah, he hasn't gotten a good rap. Detroit was a disaster.
Yep.
Some of the guys we lose track of over the years.
Some
Pat Shurmur's in Colorado with Dion.
Yeah, I know. especially with the Giants and Jets, we lose track of a lot of those guys.
Here's a guy.
We lose track of a lot of them.
Real quick, I know we're late. A guy that literally, I not heard anything about him since he got fired in this town.
Gase.
No, that's a good one, too. Mike Maccagnan.
Haven't heard
just
of him.
Just vanished into thin air.
Yeah.
Damn.
I mean, the guy was a scout. I don't know if he's scouting somewhere, but like, if you try to look up what he's doing...
Nothing.
It's just completely just off the grid.
He probably doesn't want to be found.
Seems that way. At least like Izik, we knew he went and did cap stuff for the Jaguars.
Yeah.
Right.
But Maccagnan?
The last thing on Maccagnan's Wikipedia page is getting fired by the Jets.
That's what I mean.
That's funny.
Usually Wikipedia, if it's something obscure, they'll keep up with them.
Yeah, so he's in the woods on Bunny Patrol.
Drinking coffee.
Yeah, he wants he was nothing a big to coffee do with the guy. NFL.
Yeah, that was a bad one.
That did not go well.
No.
No.
Couple of A-plus hires by Woody Johnson.
Yeah.
And his... consultant teams, or that was the Casserly. Was that the Casserly hire or recommendation?
That was Maccagnan.
That's what I mean. Bulls. That's what I meant. Maccagnan. Yeah.
Right.
Bulls.
And then Peyton Manning was Gase.
Right. Yes.
Another classic.
Good times.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right. We're almost at the end. Chris McGonigal and Willie Colon filling in the last couple of days for Boomer and Geo. Got a few minutes left in the show. And a couple things just coming and hitting Twitter. We talked earlier, Willie, about really these practices as the Jets and Giants are about to practice.
C-Mac, do you know the song?
I don't know it.
It's a hit.
Is it a hit?
It's actually banned off. So if you're on a Carnival cruise, this song is not permitted on a Carnival cruise.
Specifically on a Carnival cruise?
Yep.
Why? What happened?
Because my people tend to do a line dance with a fan that disturbs other people.
Really?
So they think it's a nuisance. So,
is that a fact?
Yeah, Carnival Cruise.
That's like a big wedding song.
Song? It's kind of like it's like the wobble, the Cupid Shuffle. It's along those lines, but it's really, really popular right now.
I've never heard that. No.
Yeah, yeah.
That's on a Carnival cruise.
Yeah,
I love cruises. People not cruises.
I was anti cruise until I went on a Disney cruise with the family this year, and it. It blew me away.
I just did that in April.
The mouse knows how to throw a cruise.
I did which ship were you on?
The Fantasy?
I was on the Wish.
Yeah. What happened?
If the wife hears we're going on it.
I thought we pissed off a sponsor.
No. It's just like, I hear it's fantastic.
It is.
Everyone loves them. She's been killing me to try and go on a Disney cruise.
And it's good. Like the food was... it beats you in the head with food. I mean, you're always eating, you're always drinking. The kids are going crazy. There's things for adults to do. I mean, it's a win. So,
Castaway K was cool too. It's their private island.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. All right. I guess I got to do it. Listen,
so going on a cruise.
We're a Disney family, but I mean, it's just she's been nonstop with the Disney, but with the Disney cruises.
The cruise works.
We got to check it out. Definitely got to check it out. Couple things. One, talking football. You were talking about how the practice today, next 2 days, Giants and Jets, you know, sometimes can be proven to be meaningless, a lot of fights. Well, I don't know if the Giants are going to get into fights because Jordan Renan of ESPN is reporting that pretty much, you know, half the team isn't going to practice. That's a bit much. But no Malik Nabers, no Jalen Hyatt, no Evan Neal, no Cam Scataboo, no Trey Hawkins, no Drew Phillips, and no Dane Belton. So a lot of Giants will not be going to this practice, specifically Nabers, and that's the matchup you're looking for, right? Gardner versus Nabers. That's what the people want. They're not giving the people what the people want.
Yeah.
So we'll see what comes in that practice. Hopefully everybody stays healthy. That's really all we're looking
for. That's all you want from a head coach's standpoint. Just want to see your guys on both sides, right? Like there's been some, like we talked about, significant injuries over the last couple of weeks, man. And
right.
When you get this close to the start of the season, man, as a coach, you start to get tight because, like, man, we're almost there. We got our guys healthy. You know, we don't want to enter, what do you call it, inter-squad scrimmage. Not inter-squad scrimmage. The Giants and Jets kind of have any significant injuries on both sides of the ball. And on top of that, man, you also realize, you know, a lot of these injuries that do happen, sometimes it's not, you know, they come at the worst time. You know what I mean? Like a red zone drill, a 9-on-7 or a 7-shot drill. Like these things happen. So you make sure you don't, like, Sauce just signed a new contract, you know?
Right.
You know, Garrett just signed a big deal. You don't want to see these guys go down right now because of something stupid.
All right, I'm being told to go to another. Pat Leonard, I'm just going to read it, the one with Brian Daboll. Head coach Brian Daboll says Malik Nabers is not practicing again today versus the Jets. Won't answer whether Nabers requires additional test on the toe at this point also not practicing. Yeah, so I mean, I guess there's a, listen, he's been dealing, he had a shoulder thing, he's got a toe issue. If, you know, they need neighbors. I mean, that is a, so hopefully he's okay. But yeah, I mean, if he's not practicing today, he hasn't practiced much. He did bang up his shoulder a little bit. He's been dealing with the toe. Not how you want to start the year, especially you're hoping to get, you know, again, like with Garrett Wilson and the Jets, you were hoping Rodgers would come in and help him take that next step. Now, in many ways, we talked about it yesterday. Yeah. That didn't happen for a myriad of reasons, including going out and getting another wide receiver to take his place. But you're looking for Russell Wilson to come in, competent quarterback play, get the ball down the field, which Daniel Jones was unable to do, whether it's the offensive line or not. And it's frustrating, the idea that they're not going to be able to get that time together at practice here. So hopefully, and plus, more than that, hopefully he's healthy.
Yeah, I mean, to your point also, I mean, because what Malik Nabers can do on the field, I mean, he can play the X, you can put him in the Z at the slot.
Yeah.
You can put him in the backfield. There's nothing he simply can't do because of his skill set.
Right.
But you do need that time with the quarterback. And that's the one thing that hurt Aaron and Garrett Wilson's relationship. They just simply couldn't get on the same page.
Yeah.
It didn't matter if they went out west to throw the ball on an empty field and somewhere.
Sure.
There's nothing like true practice reps, and that leads into game reps when you can build that chemistry.
Yeah, and there was even like a little frustration with them on the sidelines right before the season started too, which you got to hash that out as well. It just never came to fruition between the two of them. All right.